Amen. You may be seated. We welcome you to this beautiful day. This is a Sunday that we celebrate the Holy Trinity, that wonderful doctrine that sets us apart from all religions. No other religion has a belief in the Trinity, one God existing eternally in three persons. It also is an essential. The early church said that one must believe in the Trinity. It's part of Christianity. So while we can't understand it, as one early father said, if you try to figure it out, you'll lose your mind, but if you deny it, you'll lose your soul. So we just confess it, and we are thankful for it. And you'll also notice that the insert you have is for the Athanasian Creed. Athanasius was an early defender of the doctrine of the Trinity, and the three creeds that make up, I guess, the Constitution, of course, outside and secondary to the Bible of the Church, are the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. So we'll do this, and if you notice, it's will be done responsibly. The L is for leader, which I will take that part. The C is for congregation. On the back side, you'll see there's a part for men, a part for women, and a part for all that will be all of us. So we'll confess. We do it once a year, along with the rest of the church. We'll do that once a year on Trinity Sunday. It's also, as we're making announcements, it is Katie Epley's birthday. And we want to celebrate Katie, and she's going to stand and do a solo happy birthday. happy birthday. Thanks. Sure, we'll go ahead. Butler in our prayers, his young man with cancer. What's his wife's name?
Robin.
Robin. Okay. Yes, ma'am, Agnes.
Dustin Foreman. He's a farmer, and he got caught under the tiller. And he has multiple fractures in his leg.
Does he live around here?
Yes, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let's keep Dustin.
They're in Gladys.
In Gladys. Let's keep Dustin in prayers. He had a farming accident, so he has multiple injuries. Anyone else in prayer? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the goodness of the day. We thank you that we truly have a God that we cannot understand. A God that we could understand, a God that we could figure out, a God that we could, that was one that we could domesticate or would be largely useless. We need a God bigger than we are. We need an infinite God. We need one that is far greater, so that we as the lesser have a place to rely and lean and hide ourselves. We run to you, as the psalmist said, to your name, which is a strong tower. And we run knowing that the battle is yours, and we just pray that you will, in your way and wisdom, work in each of these situations that we've mentioned, each that are on our prayer list, each that are on our heart, and for the one that comes to mind at this moment. We also pray that you would be with those that were lifted up in particular. Be with Gail as she prepares for surgery this Wednesday. Even now, prepare her body. May the procedure go well and the recovery go equally as well. We pray that you'd be with Danny with his back issues and the infection. We just pray that he will receive some relief and comfort. Be with Darby if she has chemo. May that continue to be effective. Be with all those that are traveling. In particular, we pray for Nikki as she travels and travels alone. Give her safety. We pray that you would, with Taylor, I pray that you would be with Nikki and the whole Williams family. I pray that you'll lift that family up, all the different difficulties that Nikki has had and just subsequent issues that Wayne and the others have had. Just lift up the Williams family. We pray that you'd be with Sean. He has fought valiantly, and it seems as if the finish line is near. We thank you that he has not quit, but we pray that you will continue to give him grace and strength and peace and comfort as he nears that line. Be with Robin and all the family, and we thank you for that promise of knowing that when we cross that line, it's maybe the finish of this earthly existence, but it's only the beginning of our eternal existence in the presence of the Father. May they be comforted by that. We pray that you would be with Dustin. We just know that accidents just happen, and we never know. But we just pray that you'll strengthen him, bring him back to strength, and we commit him, all those that have been mentioned, all those that we have on our hearts, and we're grateful that all are in the hands of a loving and gracious God. And we commit them and leave them there. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 29 responsively, and then we'll stand and sing that wonderful hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare.
And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace.
Our soul. reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, Here I am, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
true faith. We acknowledge your glorious eternal Trinity, and we adore the unity of your majestic work. Defend us by this faith from all adversity and opposition to your way. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and as your eternal children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 14, first half of it, followed by Peter's exhortation in verses 22 to 36. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out all this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, whom you crucified, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
and all the heavenly hosts praise eternally. We give all our Lord and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. I love grace and peace be unto you and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back when, in the 70s and early 80s, when Saturday Night Live was funny, and I wasn't preaching so I could stay up late on Saturdays, I was addicted to that show. And one of the regular things they did, it was probably my favorite, and you may remember it if you listened to it or watched it, it was called Deep Thoughts, and there would be this voice scrolling different things. And I've always been fascinated with what are called imponderables, things that you can't understand. They're not puzzles that you figure out, they're just things that you just can't you ponder, but they're imponderable. You'll always ponder them. It's defined, an imponderable as a factor that is difficult or impossible to estimate, understand, or assess. We see this language in Proverbs 30, where the wisest man that ever lived, someone who could have figured out most things, being the wisest man, he spoke this, using this phrase over and over. "Three things are too wonderful or amazing for me. Four, I do not understand." Are there things in life you do not understand? The University of Mexico several years ago did a study. I wonder how much money they got for the grant to do this study, but that's another sermon. They did a study on imponderables, and they made an extremely long list of imponderables. Let me just share a few with you. Here are questions they asked. Can vegetarians eat animal crackers? How come abbreviated is such a long word. Why are wise man and wise guy opposite? Why do fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? What color is a mirror? One that my mom and I pondered this week. If you enjoy wasting time, is it a waste of time? What is the speed of darkness? Why do kamikaze pilots wear helmets? They paid to study this. Why does the sun lighten our hair but darken our skin? What size were hailstones before the game of golf was invented? If, I love this one. If con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress? And I think we'd all give a hearty amen to that one. I have an imponderable, one that I've thought about often and with cause. And it's that imponderable that every mother has probably voiced many times. And every boss has probably voiced often. Why can't you guys just get along? Why can't we get along? If you think about it, being in a relationship is the most basic and essential thing to our species. We were born in a relationship with our mother. We've never not been in a relationship. Even the most hermit of hermits can't totally avoid being in relationships. Our species, our continuation, is absolutely contingent upon staying in relationships. So why can't we get along? Why is the most basic thing we need to do so difficult to do well? Now, I know of which I speak. But let me let you in on a secret. You're no better at getting along than I am. We all have multiple examples. Jobs we loved at one time and then we hated them. Friendships that just evaporated. We all have friends that we used to be so close to, and we don't know what happened, but they're no longer. Family members who don't speak with one another. Marriages that fail. Or maybe worse, marriages that last, but in an unloving and terribly hateful way. Not even to mention road rage and mass and random shootings. Serial killers and employees going postal. Let's talk about politics and academics. And don't get me started on religion. How come we just can't get along? If relationships are so universal, why are we so poor at it? I think it goes back to the garden. It goes back to the very beginning. They were in perfect relationship. And sin entered the picture. I think sin is the reason we can't get along. Another word for sin is another three-letter word is ego. Or as Martin Luther referred to sin, is that incurvatus de se. It's being curved in on yourself. So much about you that it's hard to relate to the other. What was the very first thing out of Adam's mouth? When God, after sin had entered, and God came and questioned him, what was the very first thing he did?
You gave me this one.
He knocked, before he even threw God, Eve under the bus, he blamed God. His perfect relationship with God. He said, God, this woman that you gave to me, can you put yourself in Adam's place? I would have said, God, I went to bed a single man. I mean, I didn't seek this out. I took a nap as a single man, and you gave me a wife while I was sleeping. And look what that wife has just done for me. Well, she was no better, because when God then went to her, she threw somebody else under the bus. And we've been throwing others under the bus. We've been struggling to relate ever since. It's odd, because we're created in the image of the only one that's ever had a perfect relationship. I've had people tell me, when they find out I'm a clergy and they've been married a long time, and so I warn you, don't ever say this to me, because I don't buy it. I've had people that have been married for many years say, you know, we've been married for such and such number of years, and we have never had an argument or a disagreement. When people tell me that, I put it in one of three categories. One, they're either defining disagreement and argument far differently than I am. Maybe they're picking up baseball bats and pistols. Maybe they're defining it totally different than I do. Or two, maybe one of them's just completely a doormat and just lets the other one get by with anything. Or three, they've lied to me about something else. Or maybe I should make a fourth category. Maybe it's dementia and they just don't remember all the arguments. But we don't get along. We see it on the news. We see it everywhere. As Paul says, it's because we fall short of the glory of God. We understand that this is not just poetical language. God is the standard, and He is the only one that has existed with two other people for all eternity, and they've never had an argument. They've never had a disagreement. They have had perfect harmony and unity, and we fall short of that. And we can improve, but we don't improve by working horizontally. We're just dealing with surface events. You know, you've probably been given sheets of like 10 steps for better communications, or 18 ways that you can communicate better with your employees, or 5 ways that spouses can talk. And it reminds me of one of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes. It's simply called The Marriage Counselor. You may remember it. There's this couple on there, Fred and Jeannie Boone, and they're fighting all the time. And Andy decides he's going to make them like each other. And he takes them through a very laborious process of saying, good morning, dear. But you know, you can say good morning, dear, in a way that communicates what you would like. And in that program, as we find out in life, marriage counseling largely has a sorry track record. Why can't we get along? I would suggest to you, and here we're going to look at Isaiah 6, that the best way to improve and get along better, we'll never do it perfectly, but the best way to get along better is not looking horizontally at improving the symptoms, but doing what the angels do. Keeping our focus on the only one who has a perfect relationship. To keep our focus on the Holy Trinity, the one God in three co-equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three. For all eternity, they have perfectly respected and loved and lived in harmony. When we talk about the Trinity, it's not what God is. It's who God is. It's not roles that He takes on. It's what He is in His identity and how He relates. All examples of trying to explain the Trinity fail. It's not an egg. You know, you've heard that you've got a shell, a yolk, and whatever the white part is called. It's not boiled water, steam, or ice. It's not the three-leaf shamrock. The best we can get to, and I think he's hitting on what I'm trying to communicate, is Augustine of Hippo, who said that the what the Trinity is we take God as love, is that God is the lover. God the Father is the lover. God the Son is the beloved. And the Holy Spirit is the love that flows between them. But they've related perfectly. And because of that, it's not for us to try to figure out why everybody else is so messed up. If we're honest, we think we could get along with everyone else if they just would act right, right? As the Eagles would say, you can live in freedom if you live like me. If you thought like me, I wouldn't argue with you. But that's not true, too, because sometimes I argue with myself. But we look to God, the only one who's ever had a perfect relationship. And we do what the seraphim do. We worship in verse 3 of Isaiah 6. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want you to remember the context of Isaiah 6. It wasn't a peaceful time. Isaiah 6 begins in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a good president, if you'll allow me to use our context. He was probably like Ronald Reagan or George Washington or whomever you want to choose as when times were good. He was a good president. Things went well under him. And in the year that King Uzziah died, and now there's a lot of fear and chaos, a lot of bitterness, a lot of taking sides and taking up extremities and threatening, somewhat like our day today. But he said, in the midst of this chaos, I'm not going to look at the chaos. I'm not going to look at the divisions. I'm not going to look at how brother are turning against brother and sister's backbiting sister. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Instead, we're going to worship the one perfect relationship. We're going to worship and praise our way out of these problems. We're not going to fix it by watching the news. We're going to fix it. We're going to improve. We're going to have more peace by focusing on the only one worthy. If you look at Isaiah 6 as I'm wrapping this up, it's a very beautiful picture here. In verse 3, if you look at your insert of your scripture, it says, let me begin verse 2, and he stood the seraphim. So we know we're talking about angels. And verse 3, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, the early church took this quite literally, and I think it's a beautiful picture here, and I think they're on to the truth, that it, literally this says, the angels said it to one another. You get the picture of two angels going back and forth in a responsive way. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when you picture two angels, if you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, are there two angels that you can think of that are facing each other that might have that conversation? Let's think of the Ark of the Covenant, that Ark of the presence of God, that Ark that represented God and his presence of the chaos of his people. And on the top of that ark are two angels, two cherubim, facing each other. And the early church said that these two angels facing each other are the angels here in Isaiah 6 crying out, holy, holy, holy is our Lord God. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know what those two angels on top of that ark were called? It was called the mercy seat. Hold on to that. It's a place of propitiation where atonement was made. It was the mercy seat where we got forgiveness of sins, to use vernacular, where we were redeemed, where we were saved. So you got these two angels called the mercy seat focusing on God and his glory continually. People have tried to figure out whatever happened to that ark. I've seen documentaries about it. There was some, what was that movie about where they, I forget the name of it, where they tried to find the Ark of the Covenant, Hunter Jones or somebody. They tried to find the Ark of the Covenant. I can tell you where the Ark of the Covenant is. Because I let Scripture interpret Scripture. I'm not going to let CNN or National Geographic interpret. Scripture tells you where the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant, if you understand it properly, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is a beautiful truth. That mercy seat in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, when it translates mercy seat, it does it using a Greek word, hysterion. There are only two places in the New Testament that the word hysterion is used. So if you'll allow me to quote those two places where the word for mercy seat is used in the New Testament, I think we'll see where the glory is. The first one is Romans 3:25. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. That word hysterion, mercy seat, is that propitiation by his blood. Where was propitiation by his blood? The cross. The second time hysterion is used in the New Testament is at Hebrews 9:5. See how this all ties together? Hebrews 9:5. Above it, where the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat of his glory, we cannot now speak in detail. See, the point of the Trinity is where the angels worshiped, saying, holy, holy. And the point of the Trinity, the apex of good relationship, is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2. I refuse to focus on anything except Christ and him crucified. That's the glory. That's what we should be focusing on. That's how we may, in time, through the work of the Holy Spirit, learn to get along a little better. Verse 4, Isaiah continues, after this focus on the mercy seat. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the people of a midst of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, we don't figure out our inability to get along with others. That's a fool's game. We'll never figure out why those people we can't get along with are so unreasonable. And they'll never figure out why we're so unreasonable. The only thing we can say is the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? But one thing we can know, because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us, is we know the one, the only one, who's lived in perfect relationship with himself. And then we can simply say, amen and thank you. Amen. Let us stand and use the Athanasian Creed. You can read the intro to it at your leisure this afternoon. But we'll begin at the middle of the front page. And let us respond accordingly. You will notice on the back page, there are places that men and women are to respond appropriately. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in the Trinity.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit. Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighty, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord,
so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods but one Lord.
The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Christian kingdom, none is more after our mother, none is greater or less than another.
But the Holy Persons are co-eternal with each other, co-eternal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity, and
in
Trinity is
his worship. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the grace of faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son of God, is at the same time God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of his love for all ages.
And
he
is
the
man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
A perfect God, a perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is not a man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One power, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity through Christ.
For as a rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
It is not for our salvation,
ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
And his coming will call me by the eyes of him, by the cross, and the glory of his crown.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the chapter of faith. Whoever does not believe and is faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Threefold and glorious God, in fatherly joy you created all things, through the grace of your word and the wisdom of your spirit. In the depth of your love for the world, you gave your only Son, that all might come to new life in your spirit. You rolled away the stone by your fatherly hand, and in the power of your Spirit raised your incarnate Son from the dead. In your fatherly mercy, you breathed your Spirit on the fearful disciples, giving them the fire of your love to live as the body of your Son. And so, adoring you with apostles and prophets, with martyrs and saints, with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, and with all your glorious company in bright array, we celebrate the glory of your praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God, power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, there is none beside you. You are perfect in power and love and in purity. You invite us to join at your heavenly banquet that knows no end. In this meal, we celebrate the sacrifice of your Son and the sanctification of your Spirit. Send that Spirit upon us now, that we may be ready to be made your companions. And on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Triune God, in the dance of your love, we see your nature as utter relationship. Be close to all who struggle in relationship at home, in the workplace, across social divides, and national thresholds. As your three persons gaze in shared attention, look upon those whose lives go unrecognized. As your three members work together in true partnership, uphold any who face the struggles of their life alone. As your partners in threefold unity relish one another in deep delight, revitalize those who live without joy or hope. Make your church a community across time and space that enjoys the gift of your life and imitates the wonder of your love. Until all come into your presence and gaze upon your glory, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As the Trinity represents that one in the many that philosophers have struggled with from the beginning of time, God solves it perfectly. He is both the one and the three. In the same way, his church, his body now incarnate, is, as Paul would say, the one in the many. We are individual parts, individual persons. We come and we receive individually, but we are one loaf. And we come and receive from one loaf, and we partake at one chalice. So we come, and I invite you individually, but we come as one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But I invite all of you personally who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive with all the saints and cherubim and the heavenly host and believers around the world the one body of Christ, whom he is, and in him whom we are. Come and receive the glory of God, our Passover lamb. gracious God, our eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you because of your blessed Trinity. We are always in good company. Even when, as Isaiah, or Peter, or Paul, or Jesus in the garden, even when we are in chaos, even when we may feel utterly alone, even when we may struggle, wondering if anyone cares, if anyone's aware, if anyone even knows, we thank you that in you we're always in good company. And it is toward you alone that all praise goes, for this is a gift extended to us, not created by us, but given to us in Christ Jesus. So we are grateful people, and we praise you eternally. We ask this all through your name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn. Service, but then we would go and decorate the grave. the ultimate sacrifice. I would encourage you, amidst all the festivities that are also good, enjoy the heck out of Memorial Day, but I would also encourage you to spend some time reflecting upon those that did give all tomorrow. Now let's hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our God.